From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Previously on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Ben, did you see this letter we got from DARPA?
A letter from DARPA?
Yeah, it says, "Where's the rest of the DARPA podcast? We paid you $2 million.
What's all that dramatic music playing? And welcome back to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. This is part two of our DARPA episode. Matt, how are you feeling about this?
I'm feeling pretty good. We've looked at a little bit of the history. We're going to get a little deeper now in this section. I don't know. I think you guys are going to like it.
So let's hop right in. We have to admit, man, when we talk about DARPA, there's got to be a lot of stuff that we honestly don't know about because a technological edge, right? DARPA's mandate requires a technological edge, and a technological edge requires secrecy during development, right? And so one theory that we hear often on our show is the theory of suppressed technology. And basically the gist is that space age, quote unquote, technology of some sort exists, be it free energy, a more efficient aircraft, things like that. But they are withheld from the public.
Because they're useful in military applications.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As long as only the military has access to this equipment. Now, a lot of people would just say that's bunk and throw it out entirely, dismiss it out of hand. But when we hear stories about ARPANET, like you just caught us up on, it really makes me wonder what's cooking over at DARPA. And also, how is DARPA related to that national security patent gag order thing? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Here's how it works. It is possible for an inventor, let's say that you, Matt, invent something that is just amazing, has never happened before. Let's say for some reason you invent a device that can automatically download all information from a computer just by walking by. So it has some sort of wireless method to just suck out all the information on any computer.
Okay, highly unlikely that I could do that, but sure, I'm with you.
Hey, believe in yourself, man. And, you know, wishes are horses in this. So hypothetically, again, you file a patent for this information. This patent is denied and you are not able to tell anyone about it. There's a gag order on both the patent itself, the information contained, and any comments you might make about it due to national security. So it is actually legal for the United States government to suppress technology if they feel that this technology will somehow be a threat. And the information about this is very, very vague, minimal.
Well, here's my question.
Okay.
Can they then use that patent or the technology outlined in that patent?
Yes.
If they can extract, they can figure out what that technology is, they can use it.
Yep.
That's fun.
In the interest of national security.
Well, again, it goes right back to their charter, right?
Mm-hmm.
To maintain United States technological superiority over everyone.
Yeah. And we can't talk about DARPA unless we talk about one of the, by far, the most prevalent semi-secret bases or activities in United States mad science history. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about HARP.
I am talking about HARP.
Oh, man. The High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. That name is thrown around just, I don't know, man. What is it thrown around like, Ben?
It's thrown around like nickels at a nickel party.
Oh, man. Okay.
I just HARP. Made that up.
So, yes, HARP. Thrown around like nickels at a nickel party. This is the thing that's allegedly spurned from Tesla's research, and it works on the ionosphere, and, you know, there are all kinds of crazy alleged stories about what it can or cannot do and what it has been used to do. Like, let's say if you wanted to cause an earthquake somewhere, or if the United States wanted to cause an earthquake somewhere, people will allege that HARP did, and they maybe caused a tsunami to occur.
Right. Yeah. We hear about HARP often when people are talking about Nikola Tesla or when people are talking about weaponized weather. HARP is essentially, from what we being the public know, HARP is essentially heating the ionosphere, in kind of a, let's see what happens way, mm-hmm. according to, again, the information. Now, anytime there's this level of secrecy, there's no end to proliferating rumors. Mm-hmm. And the scariest thing about HARP is that we legitimately do not know what it is doing or the extent of what it's doing.
Actually, we know exactly what it's doing.
What is it exactly?
At least since May of year. Absolutely nothing. It's been shut down.
I'm glad you got to it.
At least for the interim. It's been shut down until they're awaiting another group to come in and possibly run it. That is not the United States government, or at least not government funded.
Okay. So that is interesting, huh? It's shut down for a little while.
Yeah, and that's according to HARP's program manager, Dr. James Keeney.
And HARP itself has... It might sound unusual that such an expensive thing should be suspended for a little bit of time, but this brings us back to circle back to DARPA. This brings us back to one of DARPA's primary advantages, what they see as an advantage, which is that DARPA research has the freedom to fail.
Yeah.
And this, in a way, gives the researchers and the contractors enormous latitude to just try things out. This could be seen in examples of the exoskeleton that, you know, the exoskeleton is one of those things that is famously always 5 years away, right?
Yep.
In 5 years, they were saying, in 2012, we'll have a superb exoskeleton. It will be used by senior citizens. It will be used by soldiers and, people who have special needs or are disabled. And then 5 years before that, it was going to be coming out in 2012, and then 5 years before that. Right. This goes on, but despite all of these failures, this is sort of a spaghetti at the wall approach, right? We throw the spaghetti at the wall, we see what sticks. And I know that's an overused comparison at times, but it really does apply here. And Matt, we've kind of caught people up, right, on what DARPA is.
I think so.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions, if that's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm on the spot.
I don't want to put you on the spot, he says, as he does. But the question I wanted to ask you is, what do you think is next for DARPA?
Well, I've been on their website, rummaging around, looking at things, looking at projects and programs. And I guess that's what they're onto now. And some of the things they're onto now, I'm just going to list off a couple things just so I can kind of tell you where I think they're going.
Great.
So one of the things they're looking at is called QEST. It's a program there, Quantum Entanglement Science and Technology. That's an actual thing that they're researching. And, you know, when you hear about quantum entanglement, there are a lot of internet videos, futurist people talking about it, scientists that want to get excited about it because it is an incredible thing that if we can make it into a usable technology, it will speed up all of our processes.
And quantum computers.
Quantum computing, exactly. And inside this, I'm just going to read this
because
this is kind of crazy.
Okay.
Fundamental discoveries in quantum information science have potential for dramatic impact on technologies related to modern military platforms. Okay, so already right there, that's a little creepy.
Can you decode that?
Well, no, I cannot decode that. The way you can start to decode it is if you look at the other programs.
All right.
Because the way I like to think about DARPA is, and it's kind of weird, but like an octopus, right? The DARPA center, the director and let's say the actual staff of DARPA is kind of the, like you said, it's the information head. And then it's got all these arms of researchers with contracts researching certain topics. So let's say quantum entanglement is one arm, right?
Right.
On the other arm over here, you've got mesodynamic architecture. This is another program.
Okay.
Now, this is really interesting to me.
All right.
This one is looking at spatial and short temporal scales, including new states of matter. These are the things they're looking at, and untapped forces. So this is next level stuff here. This is states of matter that I guess we don't know yet.
Theoretical states
of matter that currently we don't know that exist, and or untapped forces. And that just untapped forces is so vague, but it's also so cool and creepy at the same time.
Yeah, it's somewhere between a horror movie and a science fiction film, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I love that. So when you put those together, talking about quantum entangling mesodynamic architectures, I don't know. It just
to channel untapped forces.
Oh, yeah. Well, it talks about all kinds of things like it's going to make communication easier, sensing and computation easier. Again, exploiting mesoscale characteristics. I don't know what the heck that means. I'm not intelligent enough to comprehend even what that means.
I want to go back to the octopus comparison. I think that's really good. One of the other primary tentacles would be the use of information. DARPA is very concerned with how we organize, compile, and I don't know, position data, in order to make predictive things. I've got an interesting little tangent if you want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So one of my professors at Georgia Tech, where I studied international affairs, he's a mad genius, Matt, and he worked with statistics. Now you've heard this story before. He was contracted to build a simulation of Afghanistan and the idea was a real life matrix, just like we were talking about with Dick Cheney and Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. The idea was to build a virtual model of Afghanistan where all of the variables were so realistic that a change in a variable in the computer would create the same changes, on the model that would happen in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So this fidelity, was such that, for instance, you could say, well, what if the price of gas for the U.S. forces supply lines goes up or down $2? Let's plug that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently the idea was that it would be able to predict this stuff. So ultimately we're building a real life crystal ball, a real life magic eight ball or something like that.
Wow.
And, I don't know how successful or unsuccessful that's been, but it is strange when we think that in this country, there really are people who are pursuing what, again, you call the closest thing we have to a real life fringe division.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no wonder that it gets used or bandied about in a lot of theories or a lot of rumors. The fact of the matter is that DARPA is into a lot of exotic, new, pioneering technological research, and we don't know and we won't know everything that's going on there, from eliminating sleep for soldiers, from one of the things that recently popped in the news today as you and I are doing this podcast, is that DARPA is building an underwater drone base, right?
Yeah. I just look at that kind of stuff and it bridges the gap in my head of the little kid that wants to understand the unknown or the not understandable, just grasping at those big questions. And it really is on the front lines doing that, but secretly.
It's just, it reminds me of so many strange things. Just for fans of the TV show Lost, the proposed undersea drone carrier that DARPA wants to build is codenamed, wait for it,
the Hydra.
Huh?
Yeah.
I know, not to be too lighthearted, but there it is. That's our DARPA 101, right?
Do you have
anything to add there, Matt?
I just want to add, if you go to the DARPA website and you're interested in any of these programs, maybe, I don't know, you just want to know more information, you can email a lot of the directors of these programs. They have email addresses that you can send them an email and say, hey, tell me a little more about this.
Yeah, they are human beings, and we haven't emailed them yet, but that might be interesting to do so, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to call the quantum entanglement guys.
Mm-hmm. And if you do send an email to the good folks at DARPA, please let us know how it goes so we can keep tabs on you, make sure you don't disappear.
Yeah, please.
We're kidding, but that is it. We would like to hear what you think now about DARPA. What do you think are some of their most interesting projects? What do you think are the most interesting rumors about DARPA? Is it all alarmism or is it true? Are they suppressing technology? And if so, what? We are very interested in these questions. We have really stuck to the facts on this, just the stuff that is known and established about DARPA. We are always ready to get a little weird with it, and maybe we can return when we hear more about DARPA projects, or when we want to drill down into something really specific, man.
Absolutely. And if you want to talk to us, you can hit us up on Twitter. We're at Conspiracy Stuff. You can find us on Facebook. We're Conspiracy Stuff there. And you can also shoot us an email at conspiracy@discovery.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.